And welcome to another edition of Bathrob Spears Broadsides on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. You're tuned to the Thursday, February 28, 2002 show. I'm your host, Bathrob Spear Robert Norris. This is a recorded show, so don't call in. We'll be repeating this several times throughout the show, but we are interested in having you listen. Got some good stuff coming up. Lots of stuff on the drug war, interviews on the street, and the update from the City Council meeting of February 26th, and the latest sellout on the sleeping ban. I should say the lack of action on the sleeping ban. Stay with us. With a brand new SJPD revolver. One bullet for injustice, one bullet for intolerance, and one bullet for the self-hating sellout Latino capulero that will never bust enough Mexicans, harass enough Chicanos, or beat the shit out of enough Cholos to feel equal to his Caucasian counterparts. And that was Greedo Serpentino, our opening number. This is a Civil Rights for Homeless People program, also concerned, of course, with everybody else who's concerned about civil rights generally. We run for 2 hours on Thursday night, and on Sunday we run for 3.5 hours. For those of you who can take a lot of punishment, that's from 10 in the morning to 1:30 in the afternoon. You can also catch us on the internet at www.microradio.net/FRSC. This show is being recorded, and we don't accept calls tonight, but generally we do, and in fact, we welcome them. And if you have some comments on what you're hearing tonight, I would be grateful if you'd call HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the HUFF line. That's 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And we will play your comments on Sunday when this show will be live again. We also will be having on Sunday special guest Mel Mason, who was unable to be with us last Sunday. He is a former Black Panther, a former Seaside City Council member, and an individual concerned with real community control of the police department and the rash of epidemic of police violence, unaccountable police violence that has spread across the country in the last decade, and how to deal with it. We have the same problem in Santa Cruz. We have unaccountable police officers. I'm going to be talking about one of them, Officer Brandt, on tape today. And also be talking about, well, doing a lot of interviews around numerous subjects, as I usually do. But as I say, Mel Mason will be on the air probably between 10:15 and 11 o'clock on Sunday on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. That's this upcoming Sunday. I think that's March 2nd, 2002. And you're invited to join us. Again, comments 423-4833. And now we're going to hear some recent interviews from the street. February 24th, and we're here at the alarm table, and we're talking to two surveyors. What is the alarm, anyway?
The alarm's going to be a local weekly newspaper. Our slogan is, it's a local weekly newspaper for an engaged populace. It's going to be focused on Santa Cruz County. We will have some coverage of regional areas that kind of relate to Santa Cruz or do or don't. And global issues, worldly, national issues.
But one issue, sorry.
Mainly Santa Cruz County.
Wasn't there one issue of the alarm that actually came out already in the fall?
Yeah, there was an emergency issue prior to September 11th that was split with the cement boat.
And I heard, I guess, Farr told me the next issue was due out within a month, or are you still pondering that one?
We're aiming for the first week of April, first or second week of April. So.
Cool. Anything you wish to alert people to as far as how they can contribute to the alarm or how they can avoid the alarm or how they can spread the alarm?
Sure. We're looking for members right now. We're going to have a staff of 7. Right now we have 5, so we're hiring 2 new members. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our contact information is 429 News is our phone number. We're located at 224 Walnut Avenue in Suite E, which is above the Bike Church, Santa Cruz. And our website is alarm, or our email address is alarm@dojo.dao or tao.ca. So give us a call if you wish to become a contributor and or a full-time member.
429 News.
That's right.
What do you have to say for yourself?
I'm really excited about writing for it. I think it's going to be something that's going to really change the way people think about what's happening locally in Santa Cruz.
How many pages do you expect to come out with, and how frequently?
16 pages once a week.
Subscriber or advertiser based or bank robberies? How are you going to finance?
We have one funder who's considered a limited partner of our business right now. But after that, we're depending on subscriptions and people buying the newspaper weekly and advertising.
Your name is?
Rachel Shostak.
And you are?
Haley Johnson.
And where's your permit for this table? Sorry, just kidding.
Thank you.
Your table, of course, is right here at the, in a, looks like a permitted location, the corner of Soquel and Pacific, on this sunny Sunday. Good luck, and spread the alarm.
Thank you.
Right, so I'm kicking yuppies off too, don't worry.
And this is a retail district.
Discussion about the issue.
So why is the shared community being gated off on corners? Why is the public street corner, our shared community, being gated off, and why are we told that we can't hang out in a public area anymore?
Because the primary use metaphor of this downtown, as it currently stands anyway, is a place for people to shop. And that's
okay,
just how it is. That's how it was established. So if you're interfering...
That's not really true.
Sidewalk.
Vision Santa Cruz did not establish this as an area to shop. It was a community space. You're wrong.
And shop right here on this sidewalk. That planter was not put right there for someone to shop at those plants. It was put there for people to sit there.
They don't own the sidewalk.
No, they don't own the sidewalk.
Are you willing to let me say a sentence? The owners of the... Oh, and you get to determine that. I listened to your statement. Do you think I think it's legitimate?
I don't care.
The owners of these businesses see a dramatic decrease in their business when there's people that feel intimidated because it's hard to walk through an area. That's all that's been said here.
The businesses were put here after people started hanging out here. Sushi Now.
How have you been in Santa Cruz?
I don't know.
Come on, tell me.
Off and on for like, I don't know, a couple
But
of
she's
years.
Right. Sushi Now
years?
Arrived here after the...
Yeah.
How many years?
Like a couple of years. I don't know.
I've been here 25 years, if you want a longer point of view.
Yeah. He's like, I've been here 25.
No, I asked you, how many years?
A couple of years. I already said that three times.
So you know that Sushi Now came in after people were sitting here?
From people like that.
Sushi Now came in when everything else did, when the gates were opened after the... After
Sushi
the,
Now is 3 years old. Talk to Matisse. It came in 1999.
The kiosk. The idea of using the kiosk for retail space.
There's no retail space out here.
There's a disagreement about whether the sidewalks are primarily the preserve of the businesses or primarily the preserve of the community, it sounds like.
There is not a disagreement about that. My disagreement with this attitude down here about this is what I find rampant in our society today, which is this idea, and it happens in business as well. It happens in business as well as it does in social culture and in benevolent social situations, you know, nonprofit groups. And that's the idea that what freedom means is the ability for each individual to do whatever the hell they want to do. And I don't think that has anything to do with freedom. I think freedom is sharing a sharing space.
Are these green areas sharing the space or making it exclusive for the customers? Are these fences sharing the space or shutting it off?
Do you feel that there's some lack of sidewalk space in this town?
Are these fences shutting off this space? You're contradicting yourself.
No, I'm not. Those areas, just like you said, are just for patrons of these kiosks.
Shut off by the businesses. A public sidewalk has been privatized. That's what's happened.
But just before that, the tables were sitting in front of the businesses. What was wrong with that?
Well, ask the owners. Ask the owners of these businesses.
The owners should rule and make the decision.
Have you ever talked to them? I talk to them all the time. I talk to both of them all the time. And they really didn't really have a big say in it. This was the city. they signed a little petition and everything, but
they were very much behind asking the city to do this. The city doesn't...
He's correct. They were behind asking the city, but the redevelopment agency did play a large part in this. Thank you. Your name is?
Randall Reitz.
Thank you, Randall. I appreciate you expressing or what here is an unpopular point of view, but your point of view. This group of four, anyway. You're one against three.
Boy, I'd hate to have an unpopular point of view. Wouldn't that be terrible?
Well, it's popular
with the group, huh?
It's popular with the redevelopment agency and the city council. Let's put it that way.
That's not why I have it.
So we have some planters being put in here. Looks like planter boxes being beautifying the area. And again, replacing, well, some of the fencing, or perhaps supplementing some of the fencing. So what's going on? What's this new construction? Any idea?
Construction?
Yeah, what's cooking here? Is this
what's cooking here? Well, I guess they're putting in some new landscape, mm-hmm. so the it'll look nicer.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Looks like a number of 10 or 12 small boxes of greenery, and I guess to supplement the rather stark green rail fence.
Very dark. Uh-huh. Kind of complements the plants. The flowers.
Right. So we're going to have customers and plants.
Customers, plants, more business.
More business.
More business.
Well, the business of Santa Cruz is business, isn't it?
That's right. Business as usual.
Well, why not?
And so we can all eat, be merry, and
Spend money.
And enjoy the outdoors.
Well, it's good.
You gotta enjoy the outdoors.
You do have to enjoy the outdoors.
If you can't enjoy the indoors, outdoors.
Dig
if you're
it.
Indoors, outdoors, then...
Then you're indoors.
Then you're indoors.
Yeah, you got to have... So, definitely.
But better...
But you should have money if you're going to enjoy the outdoors.
Food tastes better if you're outdoors. Oh, I think
You're eating something, so I think you could say about that.
Fact. Yeah, it's chemical.
What are you munching here, anyway?
It's actually a spanakopita, and it took me a longest time.
From Alibaba's Cafe?
No, actually New Leaf.
But you're not boycotting Alibaba's Cafe.
Not at all. He's actually a great friend. But
unlike some malcontents.
Well, I have no qualms with any male species, right?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
In the meantime, enjoy.
Thank you. You too.
What's your name?
Foster.
Thanks, Foster.
Yeah, thank you.
So we're talking with Pixie. It's about 2:30, and Pixie, it's still got a few folks. Well, one criminal is leaning against the fence. Another guy is sitting on the outside planter with a guitar.
I've seen Alibaba all day today kicking people out, and he's smiling the whole time he kicks people. He's only been kicking yuppies out, really, because, we know not to go in there. But, he just loves it. The people from Pizza My Heart can't even eat in here. Only his business,
Right. Sorry, folks. Only Alibaba's Cafe and Sushi Now are allowed to eat here. Anyone else? You must have your money ready.
Okay.
Didn't mean to startle you there.
No, I don't. Total. He just loves it.
What's your name?
Susie.
Well, Ali is something of a man who appreciates control and dominion, I think. That is something all of us have that
I
problem.
I bet he has a small penis.
Oh. No, no, I haven't compared, but you know how it is.
I just assume when anybody acts like that.
That guy? Mm-hmm. He's compensating for it.
Sorry, Pixie. So, Pixie, you've been wandering around with this...
What's that petition for?
This is the same petition. We're trying to get people to sign. Pixie's been carrying it. If you want to carry it for a while, you can.
Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah, pass it on to people. Any reactions, Pixie? You've had it for about 24 hours?
Some people want to sign it. Some people are more than willing to sign it. And some people they're caught up in the money world, so some people didn't want to sign it. And took it very offensively, too, when I asked them to sign it.
How many people would you say you've spoken to?
20, about a good 20.
Now, how about the folks that you hang with? Is there a feeling that you are? I know it's one person told you thought you were just stirring up the shit and causing trouble and is that the feeling of a lot of people, a few people? What do you think?
I think out of a total percentage wise, out of 10 say there's a total of 10%, okay, probably about 4% have a problem with it, and the rest of the 6% is like, yeah, go for it, do it, yeah, we care about what happens,
And most just don't give a shit.
Yeah, but you're gonna get that no matter what the cause is, yeah, but more people to sign it would be better. But my question is, what do you do with the little petition sheets? Do you mail them to people or what do you?
The main purpose of this really is to make people aware of the issue. I mean, in theory, we can send these to the city council, but they don't give a shit. or we can make them available to members of the public who want to see them. But the main point is to let Alibaba, the Downtown Association, the City Council know there's a lot of people who do not like what's going on here. You know, and so it's kind of a token gesture at the moment.
Right on.
But it's real because it educates people.
Definitely, definitely.
And you're under arrest, of course, for circulating a petition. Come with me. Just kidding.
Right on.
So, back here at the Sushi Now, observing the scene as Ali examines the fences and the, I guess they're little kind of green wooden vine planter box areas that are being put in to fill the spaces between the various segments of iron fence. And a few customers are in here, but not as many as there might be. And it's a beautiful sunny day with classical music being broadcast from the speakers' compliments of the city.
Permanent spot.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Neil Coonerty just walked by, and I suggest that this was a Neil Coonerty type production, having this sort of scene in the middle of the sidewalk, you know, making it a private area. But what do you want to do? Do you want to set up a table, or do you?
Well,
want
yeah, I thought we should set up.
Well, let's set it up. Let's do it, I guess. I
mean,
so we have a citation coming up here, apparently, or possibly. Alibaba and Linda LeMaster have had a difference of opinion. Apparently Linda left some bags on one of Ali's chairs.
I was right there. I told him I would pick them up.
You cannot allow yourself to hit people
anymore. You don't know how to behave like an adult.
And there's a cross exchange of complaints happening, possibly.
I do not tolerate that.
So, Alibaba is filing a complaint against Linda LeMaster.
Yeah, that's my permanent. The name of my street, I can give it to you.
Step away from
me. Okay. I'm 10 feet away. Go ahead. Continue with your business.
You're not 10 feet away. Still
not. Where are my bags that you threw across the floor?
I've got them.
How do you know if he broke things that I just bought at the grocery store?
Well, if he did, you should hold him accountable.
He's not accountable, he's a child.
And this is an incident we're listening to a tape of part of it, which happened several days ago, where Linda LeMaster has been cited for battery by Alibaba for allegedly striking him. And I guess the claim is that he was struck with a soda can. Linda's concern is that Ali threw dumped her groceries on the sidewalk when she did not quickly enough remove the groceries from one of his chairs. I was a witness to some of this, and the whole thing seemed to me to be much blown out of proportion, and indeed another example of Alibaba's sort of short fuse and his insistence on maintaining sort of control over everything around him. And sort of getting people to do exactly what he wants when he wants them to do it, or taking either extreme measures personally or using the police. It's been one of the problems I've had with Ali, although he's a sweet guy in many other ways. That seems to be, to my mind, a problem he has. And I say this not so much as a personal criticism of Alibaba, or Ali Ka, as he's known, but simply because it affects people in terms of public policy, and it affects homeless and poor people, street musicians and activists who are in that area, because he has chosen to locate his business in a very public space. If he had a business, you know, inside a building somewhere, I don't think it would be much of an issue what his personality was or what his preferences are in terms of the people in the area. But he has actually chosen to significantly influence Santa Cruz policy, first by expanding his leased area, then by actually expanding it again. So now he's privatizing the sidewalk and taking over. Actually, he expanded it twice, and then I believe on the third occasion, a fence has been put in, and the whole area has been, everything in front of New Leaf Market has now been ruled out of any kind of public sitting area. Even if you try to sit on a planter nearby, since you're 10 feet from a sidewalk cafe, thanks to Neil Coonerty's cafe law, or I should say his downtown ordinances from 1994, also supported by Scott Kennedy and other notables on the city council, like Catherine Byers, who are again running for city council, I understand, or intend to, we have a situation where the whole area in front of New Leaf has been ruled out. So this personal conflict that seemed to came up between Ali and Linda LeMaster, who's the chair of the former Homeless Issues Task Force and an activist herself, disabled person, and, you know, Linda isn't always the calmest person in the world, but in this situation, I think that we have a situation that could have been worked out if one person hadn't lost their temper, and hopefully will still be worked out, but it tends to me to show that Ali's hostile attitude and his determination to sort of homestead public spaces is, you know, it has a bad impact on the community around his kiosk. I mean, there are those who have said that they don't like the former young people who, I say former because you can't sit there anymore, at least during business hours, though I understand at night. The police have been fairly lenient in allowing people to still use those public spaces again, though I think it may be that during the night those spaces can be, I think there is an exclusive lease on them. I'm not sure whether that also includes the nighttime. I'm going to try to find that out. But there is a scene we have where this individual's determination to have, as he puts it, his behavioral problems cleared away, whether it's music he doesn't like from nearby guitarists or young people who aren't as attractive to clientele who might patronize a falafel shop or the sushi place, whatever the reason or the excuse, public spaces have been removed. And there, when I was there a couple days ago, there was nobody at all even lingering in the area near Sushi Now or Alibaba's Cafe, other than a few customers, not many customers at that, which is another item, because there doesn't seem to be much customer patronage of the area. Not certainly not enough to justify this kind of behavior, except that this is a plan cooked up by the Downtown Association and the Redevelopment Agency, ratified by the City Council, to remove a, quote, youth scene that they don't like. And I saw them pursuing this youth scene yesterday or the day before, where it had moved across the street to in front of the cookie company, where there were folks kind of hanging around the benches and the telephone, and there was a man with a display about the River Street sign with his car parked there. His name is Stephen, and he was being given a ticket. And I think I may actually have that on tape at some later point and be playing that. But the point there is the police are continuing to pursue these kids and wherever they congregate. So the idea of a scene happening is something that is not going to be permitted downtown, it looks like. Although, you know, some of the kids have told me, oh, it looks like they can move to the Cooper House area. There's other planters around. And you heard this previous person saying, why can't these folks move to other places? I mean, that way they can just move on. Well, the idea isn't to get them to move on. It's to get them to move out. See, that's what I think the point is, and that's why resistance at this point was an important thing to do, and still is. I'm going to be there occasionally with a table, and I encourage people to continue to boycott Alibaba's Cafe, Sushi Now, New Leaf Market, in a kind of a talking boycott, where you tell other people about it, but you also talk to Matisse Selman, the owner of Sushi Now, Ali Ka, the owner of Alibaba's Cafe, and also the New Leaf Market folks, and let them know that you want to shop locally, but you need them to have respect for the entire community and not just the customer segment of the community. And that's what we need. If they're going to locate their shops outdoors on the sidewalks, they can't colonize the sidewalks and make them exclusive preserves of businesses. And they can't collude with conservative organizations that would like to just see a particular kind of person gone from the downtown and expect the rest of the community to sort of roll over for that. I mean, some people will, obviously they have, but there are a lot of us who haven't rolled over for that. And the question is, what do you do once these green fences and the planters, all funded by the city, and there has been no increase in the amount of money, as I understand it, paid by Matisse Selman and Alibaba. Now, I've heard otherwise from Matisse, but when I called the Redevelopment Agency yesterday, I got an employee who wasn't clear that there had been any increase. And if I'm wrong, I apologize to Matisse and Ali, but I couldn't get a straight answer from him about whether he was paying more. None of your business is what he said. You got your facts wrong, but he wouldn't tell me how I'd gotten my facts wrong. So all I can tell him is, if you wish to be mysterious about it, then I just have to rely on whatever sources I can get, even if they're not as reliable as hopefully they will be when we get more information. But the fact is that the action of these agencies and these individuals, these businesses, and the agencies they're relying on, the redevelopment agency, which is supposed to be creating affordable housing downtown, not destroying public spaces, their actions are, to me, the really problematic behavior. They have the opportunity to ask for assistance, for conflict reconciliation, for codes of conduct, for, you know, even private security guards, although they've been using the police as private security guards, in terms of if there's any specific really bad behavior, but not to drive people away, to deal with behavior that is really a detriment. I mean, such a small thing as moving the public trash cans away from Matisse Selman's previous Sushi Now eating area. He didn't even want to do that, but he was complaining that people were spitting into the garbage cans. Well, I don't know. He preferred people spit on the sidewalk. I mean, you know, you spit into a garbage can. He didn't want to move them away from his stand. This is a recorded show, and if you want to call in, you can't call in on this show, but you can call in to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. You're tuned to 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is Bathrobes Piers Broadsides, and we're discussing the takeover of public spaces in the downtown. Again, unfortunately focusing on two businesses, two small local businesses, which I would prefer to see patronized if they would actually engage in some sort of real dialogue with the community instead of simply moving in behind closed doors using the city council and the redevelopment agency, or letting themselves be used by the redevelopment agency to privatize an area to socially engineer the profiling and removal of a class of people from that area, which, as I said, seems to be only the first step, since these people are also now being pursued across the street, where, as I mentioned, this fellow who had a display on his car that seemed to be kind of a part of the scene with these young kids was given a ticket for expired meter. And you say, well, what's wrong with that? His meter was expired. Well, the point was he was moving to put money in his meter, and the ticket was given by a CSO. That's a community service officer, one of the folks in light blue who walks around. They don't give tickets for expired meters unless they're out to harass people. That's done by meter maids. And they also are not supposed to give a ticket when someone's reaching to put money in the meter. That's considered to be both bad form and even, I think, against city policy. So I see this as a specific attack on the people gathering there, just as a small indication of what's going on. I'd like to get any reports. If anybody out there has evidence that either confirms or denies that people are being harassed in other areas where they're gathering on the mall, I'd like you to give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. HUFF is, of course, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. This recorded version of Bathrobes Piers Broadsides aired on February 27th. Nope, it's going to be the 28th when this show airs on Thursday. Continues.
Pretends he can't hear. crosses the street, seems embarrassed to be there. Oh, think twice, 'cause it's another day for you and me in paradise. Oh, think twice, 'cause it's another day for you, you and me in paradise. Blisters on the soles of her feet. She can't walk, but she's trying.
Oh, think twice, 'cause it's another day for you and me in paradise. Oh, think twice, it's just another day for you, you and me in paradise.
Collins, Another Day in Paradise. This is 96.3 FM, recorded edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. Don't tune in, but keep listening in and call in if you want to leave a message at 423-4833. And we return now to the scene at Yuppie Planter, as I now call it, since hippies and counterculture people who can't spend money have in essence been driven away, not just from the planter area, which is now enclosed with a fence and some greenery, a green fence, and the tables in there are only available for folks who are customers or friends of Matisse Selman and Ali Ka. But the area around it is also a forbidden zone because you can't sit within 10 feet of a building or a business unless you bring your own chair. I guess we shall bring chairs and sit down or something. But anyway, that's why I call it Yuppie Planter. We're continuing looking at what happened. Guess it was a couple days ago, in late February, an incident involving Ali Ka and Linda LeMaster, and you'll hear some of the discussion and sort of public exchanges that went on as that. Actually, we aren't going to hear the actual episode. It wasn't itself caught on audio tape. It was, as I said, involved Linda's groceries being dumped on the ground by Ali, who was concerned that his chair was being used where Linda had put the groceries, though he seemed to have no objection when the groceries were put there, although maybe he didn't see it. It's hard to tell. It all seemed pretty petty to me, the whole thing. And then, again, what I noticed was that when Linda tried to file a complaint herself against being struck by Ali, again, apparently a minor blow, but still a blow, just as I guess Ali felt he was struck by an empty soda can in the chest when Linda was arguing with him or talking to him and turning to discard the soda can elsewhere, by her account. The complaint which Ali filed was readily taken by Officer Brandt, the English-speaking officer, English-accented officer, the fellow with the bald head, tall fellow who patrols the mall under the aegis of Sergeant Butchie Baker. But when Linda LeMaster tried to file a complaint, Brandt fobbed her off with a, I'll make an addition to my police report. And when she went in several days later to try to do that again and get a copy of the police report, she was told she couldn't get a copy of the police report. It had been forwarded to the DA's office. She had to go there. And when Brandt was called out, she said he again discouraged Linda from making a complaint, suggesting she would have to file a citizen's arrest, which actually doesn't mean much except you sign a form, just as Ali Ka did with Linda, saying that you would like to see this person held accountable. And if the person isn't arrested, they are, in essence, usually given a citation, and they sign a release which they agree to appear in court. But Brandt has done this before. He did this with activist John Teal King 2 weeks ago when Teal King was at the farmer's market and had his Mumia flyer struck from his hand by, dare I say, a wingnut fellow who didn't like his political views, and then kicked the flyers and then came back with something which other witnesses said was a weapon, a farming tool of some such. Brandt never filed a complaint, even though John Teal King tried to file a complaint about it. Brandt wouldn't accept the complaint, discouraged him from doing it. 4 days later, when John called up and tried to get Brandt to file it later, he said, "You've missed your opportunity, it's too late to do this." When I confronted Brandt with this information, he gave a different story, saying that Teal King didn't want to file the complaint, that he just wanted his superior's name, that he did not make specific enough charges or appropriate enough charges to file a complaint. Brandt said that harassment is not a basis for filing a complaint, but actually the actual events of someone striking literature out of your hand and kicking it on the ground is clearly criminal behavior. And for Brandt not to take a complaint about this, to me, is very selective and shows selective enforcement. And Officer Brandt obviously feels differently about it. He towered over me and raged at me that I was in essence not telling the truth about this. And he expressed the usual thick skepticism, which he is entitled to have. But I believe the story is important for the public to know about, hence I'm talking about it on the radio, and agreed you should get all sides of the story. You can always talk to Officer Brandt for his perspective, and he's invited, if he wishes, to call in and give his perspective, or his friends can do so, on this issue. I'm concerned that since we have no meaningful police review process, what we have are officers who are selectively allowing merchants and favored people to file complaints which they readily take to the district attorney, as for instance, I was accused of blocking the sidewalk with a table that had been sitting in the same place it's always been, down there in front of what is now Yuppie Planter, which was then an open planter area available for everyone to sit in. And this complaint was not written into a police report. It was made, and I was arrested and taken away in handcuffs. And a similar thing happened to me at the farmer's market 6 months ago when I was simply peacefully petitioning and encouraging people to be able to use the farmer's market, who were drummers, musicians, who were activists, which apparently the manager, the former manager of the farmer's market, Janet Blazer, did not want to happen. And she eventually resigned, I think, under pressure, and that issue was somewhat resolved. Though perhaps not as much as I'd hoped. But in the course of that, I was arrested I was cited twice and actually taken away in handcuffs once, again by Sergeant Baker, again on a complaint that he chose to exercise, even to the extent of a custodial arrest, instead of just saying, writing it into a police report, as Officer Brandt is in the habit of doing with people who are on the streets, who make complaints against merchants or against other individuals who are attacking them. So, I mean, I saw this another example of this in the case of the man who assaulted me downtown, smashing the table. Police officers actually saw this assault. And here, the police actually did behave in an appropriate fashion. They took the guy into custody. He was held the night, but then immediately the next day he did a plea bargain. He was out of custody and on the streets again. And as it happens, I, you know, made my peace with this fellow. There's no personal animosity between us. But the fact of the matter is, he got a very good deal, and it was very quickly settled, considering the seriousness of what happened. I mean, there were death threats made. You know, real property was damaged. A man was slugged in the face. And the victim, myself and the other individual who was hit, were not even called in by the DA to the hearing to testify. We weren't even given the option to present our concerns. No restitution has been offered. So there's a differential process happening here. And it's important for the citizenry to know it, to be aware of it, and to stand up against it. And it's most evident at Yuppie Planter now. And that's one of the reasons I'm focusing on Yuppie Planter, because you can't, a lot of times this happens in the shadows. Musicians in front of the Cooper House will be drawn aside by Sergeant Baker when it happens with the marimba players. They get upset and they go to city council en masse and they get Baker's decision reversed, as they did last summer. But with individual musicians who are playing in front of the closed alcoves, they get harassed. They even get jailed, taken away to jail, as one musician did, a guy named Hari, a couple of weeks ago, and they don't have recourse, and there's no publicity, and we don't hear about it, and people are so isolated from each other that we don't have an opportunity to really contest this in any meaningful way or even understand or be informed of what happened, other than hear my account a week or two later or some days later on Free Radio Santa Cruz, and you wonder, well, this guy's, you know, he's a big partisan of the street people, you know, he's probably got a one-sided story, besides what can I do about it. At Yuppie Planter, we see all this stuff coming together very clearly. We see the clear seizure of public spaces without due process, without real community involvement, explicitly for the purpose of removing a group of people, without real significant public remuneration to the city, through the Downtown Association's largely closed process, though they now have opened up their meetings under the pressure of state law. They have to hold their meetings open to the public because they get, as they always have gotten, money from the city to do their security shit and to run these host services up and down, and, you know, essentially to have these private briefing sessions with the police, which used to be involve things like cattle herding. That was the phrase used, how Sergeant Bob Hennig described how he treated homeless people in 1990. It actually appears in a memo. Cattle herding is what he does. And he didn't even mind putting this in print, and the Downtown Association of that day didn't even mind hearing it. And I think the same mentality, I'm afraid, under Peter Eberle, still reigns. Quick announcement. At 7 o'clock tonight, Thursday, at the Hub at 224 Walnut, Cassandra Brown is going to be meeting with the intention of looking for a way of opening up more public space downtown, whether this means occupying the street or doing a plaza, or some kind of civil disobedience, or some kind of prior plan to city council. Check it out. Come on down. 7 o'clock tonight, and this is happening. I'm sorry I can't be there, but I encourage you to see what you think. You can also reach her at 426-6515. 426-6515 if you can't be there. She's one of the two successful defendants who was able to sue the Department of Transportation, Caltrans, I should say, for tearing down, actually the Scotts Valley Police for tearing down, and the Caltrans for not allowing people to post banners other than the flag. So check that out if you want to see get to that meeting on public spaces downtown. And let me know what you think of it. I'm going to try to check it out later. Now let's join the musical number Springtime for Hitler, How Appropriate, in progress. It's from the musical The Producers, from the movie of the same name. Springtime for Hitler.
Hitler and Germany. Deutschland is happy and decaying. We're marching to a faster pace. Look out, here comes the master race. Springtime for Hitler and Germany. Rhineland's a fine land once more. Springtime for Hitler and Germany. Watch out, Europe, we're going on tour. Springtime for Hitler and Germany.
Look, it's springtime.
Winter. Germans, go into your dance.
I was born in Dusseldorf, and that is why they call me Rolf.
Don't be stupid, be a smarty. Come and join the Nazi party.
To change our history, I'll myself raise your hand. There's no greater dictator in the land. Everything I do for you. If you're looking for a war, here's World War II. I'll myself raise your beer. Every Hotsy Totsy Nazi stand and cheer.
Hey, every Hotsy Totsy Nazi.
I'll myself. Stand and cheer.
The Fuhrer is causing a furor. He's got those Russians on the run. You gotta love that wacky hunt. The Fuhrer is causing a furor. They can't say no to his demands.
From the Reichstag told me I was Führer. Germany was blue. Oh, what a what to do. Hitched up my pants and conquered France. Now Deutschland's smiling through.
But it wasn't always so easy.
It was 1932. Hindenburg was working the big room and I was playing the lounge. And then I got my big break. Somebody burned down the Reichstag. And would you believe it? They made me chancellor. Chancellor! It ain't no mystery if it's politics or history. The thing you gotta know is everything is showbiz. Hire myself, watch my show. I'm the German Ethel Merman, don't you know? We are crossing borders, the new world order is here. Make a great big smile, everyone sing heil to me. Wonderful me.
Springtime for Hitler from the musical, The Producers. Many of you may know the movie with Zero Mostel, The Producers, from the late 60s. This is actually a 90s musical, which was made from the movie by Mel Brooks, same guy who produced the movie 30 years before, and he took some of the same songs. Springtime for Hitler seems a kind of an appropriate number, although some will call it a dramatic overkill, but remember, we're in a town where if you give the Nazi salute from the back of the city council in order to demonstrate your sense that the city council is acting in a repressive manner, they will repress you. And if you use the word fascist or Nazi or flunky, at least those were the forbidden words under Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice, he is still a strong influence on city council. He's no longer mayor or vice mayor. But he is, of course, the Green Party-endorsed city council member who sits at the right hand of Mayor Chris Krohn, who has shown that he is willing to even be more repressive than Fitzmaurice. So, for instance, at the city council meeting on Tuesday, 2 days ago, Michael Tomasi, who is a rather outspoken, sometimes incoherent, but a passionate homeless person who lives in his vehicle, was denouncing, apparently, a ticket from Sergeant Butchie Baker in somewhat intemperate terms. Mayor Krohn cut off his mic without explanation and then had Officer Brandt, who was the police officer who was surveying and sergeant-at-arming the city council, to escort him out of the room without giving any explanation to the community. And this actually had the effect of frightening at least one member of the community that I talked to, who was then afraid to go up to the mic later and speak, not knowing what the standards were that Mayor Krohn was using to evict people from the room. I mean, he didn't say, you can't use this word, you can't use that word, or he just kicked him out. Now, I suppose some would say that his entire demeanor was simply unsuitable or something, but the appropriate thing is, in a public body, that you have due process standards, so that if you are so that at least the rest of the community can know what the standard is for speaking there. I mean, I have been threatened with arrest, as I said, for using the words flunky and fascist, and for raising my hand in a salute, and for even making the sound of talk, chatter, from the back of the room as Mayor Fitzmaurice, a year or two ago, went into this long, rather sickening, supportive dialogue about, a monologue about Mercy Housing, which is this monopoly shelter provider for the city that he is directing all the affordable housing funding to without any kind of competitive bidding, without any real accountability, without any alternatives being considered, essentially to destroy more housing than it will be created in the Dolphin Lee that has in fact destroyed the Latino community down there and sent more than half of it packing and returning to where it came from, whether it's Guatemala, Nicaragua, El Salvador, or Mexico. And of course he's been misrepresenting this whole thing as some big community preservation project for Latinos, which it is not in the least. It is a project of Mercy Charity's housing project, which provides subsidized housing for a small number of people. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I was talking about how there is a repressive streak to city council, which seems to be getting worse, or not particularly better, under Mayor Crone. I haven't discussed his most recent repressive streak with him, but I had a long conversation with Crone, a meeting in early January about what I call Brown Act violations, and I actually distributed a speech on this issue two nights ago at City Council, though Crone has cut back time at Council, so not everybody had, no one had 3 minutes to speak at oral communications, they only had 2 minutes, though I think he let everyone speak, which was an expansion by cutting, but he cut back time but let everyone speak instead of expanding oral communications time, which is what he really needs to do to allow people to speak more broadly, even if that means less time for the city council to go on endlessly. It's, you know, in other legislators are limited in the amount of time they can speak, but not in our city council. They can drone on forever, but the public gets a very limited amount of time and no time really to reply. So, for example, in public comment periods, if you speak, you get a chance to speak before, once the staff report is read, then you go up and you can speak to the item. But then if the council starts discussing it and amending it, there's no second period of public comment unless you have a city council member who is willing to recognize you by holding up your hand, and by all means, hold up your hand, try to get their attention, even at the risk of having Officer Brandt come over and escort you from the room. That's always the risk that you have to take. But there should be a second period of public comment at least, so that there's real community dialogue and input, and of course there isn't, and I've actually outlined a whole series of concerns I have around this, which violate good public process, and also actually violate state law in some cases. I don't think it was appropriate for Crone to have thrown out Tomasi, for example, though he will say that Tomasi was not acting with decorum and denouncing Baker, Sergeant Baker. Of course, was Sergeant Baker acting with decorum when he ticketed Tomasi, and when he's ticketed numerous other people up and down the mall, homeless people on essentially harassment offenses is how I've viewed it, and I think my view I've discussed in the past and as some substance, ranging from bicyclists going the wrong way and dragging a woman off screaming and then charging her with resisting arrest, to overseeing an incident with Sean Duncan a year ago where the motorist who hit and run, did a hit and try to run, but he didn't get very far because there was a crowd of people on Sean Duncan. The bicyclist got away without a ticket at all, but under Baker's authority, Duncan was ticketed. There's a whole series of these tickets that Baker has overseen, and it's just kind of grotesque. So the council, however, is not interested in meaningful police review. It's interested in repressing any unseemly outbursts that might indicate real feelings and sentiment at council. Not that I'm, you know, particularly happy with how Michael Tomasi expresses himself. I would like to see people much more coherent and moderate and at least clear in their expression. He's not particularly, but when one person is repressed, it represses other people. If you don't really very, very clearly explain and make your limits, the reasons, if you're going to remove someone, it's a serious matter from a public meeting. It has to be clear they are not letting business proceed. Fitzmaurice has put in this new set of rules about intemperate, indecorous, slanderous, or personal attacks, which is an invitation to truncate the First Amendment, and I thought we'd eliminated that when we eliminated the Rotkin kind of behaviors we had when instructor Rotkin was mayor back in 1996, and we got rid of him in 1998, or at least he cycled out. Unfortunately, maybe he's cycling in again in 2002. But, hey, actually he cycled out in 2000, not in 1998. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. This is a recorded version of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. I'm your host, Robert Norris. If you want to reach a real person, leave me a message at 423-4833. That's the Huff line, and I'll get back to you. If you have any comments on what you've heard on the show, or reports about homeless tickets against homeless people for sleeping, harassment of the homeless, beatings, and so forth. Also, Huff UCSC, a homeless group on campus up at the University of California, meets every week, Wednesday, at 6 o'clock. And that's at on the second